headphones if you want them. Awesome, not man. Needed. It's always nice to hear the sound of your voice.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Say a little different sometimes.
It's my favorite thing.
Yeah, that probably took the most getting used to, singing on mics.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. Just I don't think I sound the way I do, you know, when you talk.
That's so true. Like, I remember the first time I ever heard my voice when I was a little kid. I literally cried.
No way. That's amazing.
I was like, this doesn't sound...
What's happening to me?
What's happening? This doesn't sound anything like I think it... Wait, but really, that was hard to... It was hard to...
Yeah, I just remember being on the first condenser mic with headphones, yeah. Getting in. Like, I mean, it was years and years ago, but I remember being like, this is not what I sound like.
And then did you have to adjust yourself to what you thought it sounded like,
I think there was a little moment of that, you know, that weirdness, but yeah, I don't know.
But
I think,
when you listen back now, has it adjusted to the way it sounds when you sing, or
yeah,
the way
it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't bother me anymore. I'm so used to it. So yeah. Probably, I guess, just naturally that happened. But yeah.
But do you sound different in your head than when you listen back?
No, now it's weird. I think I sound like I sound now. I don't know. I guess. So first, because I guess I hear myself all the time. So now it just kind of, I don't know, goes here and there.
You've adjusted to this is just how I sound.
Absolutely. Yeah. I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, fair enough.
This is awesome. Thank you, guys.
Hey, thanks for coming in.
Of course.
Busy schedule. He's got a new record.
No, yeah.
He's got a wedding in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I keep forgetting about that one, too, so thanks for reminding me.
Someone invited me to Elton John last night.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
Unreal. God. You know what? I almost didn't go because I was like, I've got Mitchell Tenpenny today. It's a big interview. No, I don't want to be... tired for this, but it's his last show ever in Nashville.
Dang,
farewell tour.
I needed to
go. You should have gone, Mitchell.
Damn, I've never seen him. I've always wanted to see him. I thought where did he play? I thought Pitbull was last night too.
I don't know if Pitbull was last night, but he played at Nissan.
And, oh, he played at Nissan. Okay, then Pitbull would have been at the arena.
And Lil Nas X was at the War Memorial.
Nashville.
There right? you go.
That's crazy.
It was good, though. It was a good show. I actually thought he could have played, more hits. He played a lot of deep cuts. He was like, we're playing this for the first time in, my career. I was like, yeah. Dude, your career's over.
Yeah, you're done. Jeez,
like,
wow.
Play the hits.
Of course. That's, yeah.
No. Oh, my God. But, okay, so Mitchell's here. We have a lot to talk about, actually.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in Mitchell. First of all, it's been a minute, but I haven't seen you. Congratulations there's so much going on. New record. What happened where you just broke some record about two number ones in 3 weeks or something?
Yeah, I mean that's just luck. I mean,
what happened though? What was the stat or what was the thing?
Yeah, two back to back number ones within 3 weeks.
And no one's ever done that before?
I think it was. They said Kenny Chesney was five, but it's just the way it timed up. I'm not gonna take that as a huge act. I appreciate it. It sounds really cool. It's cool, but
they send the press release out. Yeah, it's really the publicist just looking for
anything. Yeah, yeah. And I appreciate, yeah. But my song, so I had a song with Chris Young.
Yeah, right.
Coming at the end of a bar, and that one went number one. But then my song itself was going up the charts at the same time.
Truth About You.
Yeah, Truth About You. So that 3 weeks later, that one was number one. So
yeah.
So they timed up. They timed up that way. So it sounds cool. But, yeah.
But what's the thing? Because your last number one was in 2018.
Yeah, or Drunk Me, yeah.
Drunk Me.
That long ago, yeah.
2018. I got to imagine, if I'm Mitchell Tenpenny, because you've, every song, first of all, the new record, I feel like every song on it is killer. Like, you can listen to it front to back, and it's great. And I felt that way about the first record, too.
Awesome.
But I got to feel like, if I'm Mitchell Tenpenny, I know I'm singing all these songs, I would be worried about being a one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
Because I'm screw this. I'm such a good songwriter, and the fans are loving the songs. And there was, a minute...
Yeah.
Before you got these two number ones, out of the back. So, that's got to be very reassuring.
Man.
Right?
Jeez. Yeah, I mean, definitely that thought has been in my mind a lot. Just how tough it is for radio. And then, the pandemic happens, right? Right on the, when you're, all the momentum's happening and then it's stop. And then it's just tough. And then, politics and all kinds of crap, man, that just come into why you're not getting played on the radio, but why are you getting gold records, but your song's not breaking 50? And, you get in your head, you're like, okay, I'm going to be that one-hit wonder then, I guess. And then, I don't know, you get, something happens and you come out of it. And it's definitely a little bit reassuring, but now it's I'm not gonna be a three hit wonder.
Three hit wonder's not that bad. That's not even a thing. That's just a star. But yeah, I feel like for you, because there's a lot of people who get hits on radio who like don't stream very well or who can't really move tickets. But you like sold out the Ryman last year with your one hit, whatever that means, right? Like, so you have this really successful career. So I don't know, is that more frustrating to be like the fans are consuming this music and maybe the radio is not playing my next song?
Yeah,
but now it's behind us because we just had two hits in a record amount of time, two number ones. But it's got to be a little bit like, come on, right? Like, what is that?
I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, it was like, come on, like, what do I have to do? Especially, you know, I love country radio. That's what I grew up listening to. That's what I signed the record deal for. You know, I had my own label doing my own thing. And I joined ventures with Sony because I wanted radio. And then you get it, you go right out the gate, you get a hit song like with Jump Me, and then all of a sudden, nothing. And especially with all the shows I've done for radio, everything I've tried to give back to country radio, and they're just not playing me. So yeah, I'll be straight up with you. Yeah, there's a little bit of animosity for a little bit, but now I absolutely love them. It's been great to hear the songs back. And one of the biggest ones is, know how hard it was to get on my hometown stations. You know, I'm from here in Nashville, and it's like takes forever to get, like, never played any of my other stuff except Drunk Me. But they did on these records, and I'm very happy about that. I'm very glad, and it's become a great partnership now. But it was there was definitely a moment there. I'm not gonna lie to you about it, where I was like, what the hell?
So what's happening during that time? Because is the secret during that time to just keep the practice up and just say, hey, like, let's not get in our head about this. Let's keep writing songs, keep touring, keep doing the thing, keep building the story. Like, how do you push beyond that? Because I also think there's a lot of artists that probably, because I've seen your team and I know Kristen, like, you guys are not fucking around. Like, you guys are working really hard. And I think that's like, you're like, we're not going to not get another song on the radio, basically. I think that was the mentality.
Yeah, of course. And
but what does that look like?
Well, it's you mentioned her, Kristen. Her name's Kristen Ashley. She's my manager. She, God bless her for keeping my focus right. And you know, when I bitch about stuff like that, or like, you know, I'm concerned because, you know, I'm not just concerned for me, and I mean this. Like, if I don't work, then the people that have given their lives to help this, you know, happen, they don't work. They don't have a job.
Yeah, so your brother's on the team.
Yeah, my brother's on my
and
brother's
he bought
on
a house.
Yeah,
he's got a mortgage.
And so and
all
my band and
down to you. Is he older or younger?
He's younger.
He's younger. Okay, yeah.
So that's the thing with her. And so I get in my head about that stuff. So she's really great at saying, Mitchell, look, I hear you, I understand, but like, let's focus on these things. And without her, I'd go crazy. So I you do have to build a team that keeps you, you know, on the right path. And she's definitely done that. And you know, I'm glad you know her because she's, I would lose it if I didn't have her.
So. But at any point, because the thing about Kristen is like, if you meet Kristen, she's sharp as a tack. She's wise beyond her years. And I think any artist would be lucky to have her. And I know how close you guys are.
Yeah.
But I would almost imagine if you have this dry streak of radio, do you start to think like maybe something is up with the team? Or I don't know. Like, I just think a lot of things would be going through my head. And she's so young too. It's amazing that you trusted her.
Yeah.
With everything, and now she looks like, now she's a rock star. I mean, she's always been a rock star.
Yeah, right.
But at any point, do you think, oh my God, like maybe we need to bring in someone else? We need to do something. Like, that's got to happen too, right?
I mean, we had the best of the best. I mean, we still do. It's like at some point, it's just like, is it me? Is it something? Did we say yes too much? That was a big thing.
What do you say yes to?
Like, did we
do
too many radio shows? Did we say yes? Did we do too many favors for people? And now they just expect it from us. Like, that's the truth.
Is that really part of the conversation, that maybe you do too much?
Definitely. It's like, because then if you don't do the next one, then they're pissed. And it's like, well, we've already done three. Like, we've already been. So now we like, I can't come to your city and do a hard sell ticket because I've done the radio show.
Radio show three times.
Or like, but now if I don't, now you're not going to play me because you're pissed.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. There's so many politics, man. And I hate that the music has to be political in that way. But you know, you got to play the game. And you know, I chose the game to play, and I've been enjoying it. You know, 90% of it is great. But then you got to figure out your own path through that. And you know, me and Kristen sat down together and figured out how we were going to do this. And a big help was Chris Young putting us back on radio. I mean, asking me to do that feature. I wrote that song thinking, you know, Chris called me, wanted to cut that song. And I was like, awesome, I'll have, you know, at least an outside cut on the radio. And then when he called me, asked me to be on it, I was like, well, perfect. This is my way to kind of slip in the radio, even though there's no plan to put me back on radio.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, we'll do it our own way. We'll figure this out. And once that happened, then TikTok came out, TikTok came out. I put out Truth About You on it, and it, you know, blew up. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, we love this song. Well, here we go. Yeah, let's go with this song. It's always been this song. I'm like, all right.
Were you not originally going to put it out?
No, I mean, no, because I no one heard it. No one thought it was a hit.
Who didn't think it was a hit?
I mean, everybody. I'm not going to call people out, but nobody. I mean, I
nobody played, thought it was a hit?
Played the song. I played the song and a bunch of stuff, and it was just like, I made a whole, like, EP, and everyone was like, ah, we don't hear a radio song on these. And I'm like, I don't know what else to give you, man. Like, I guess I'm just not
See,
that.
See, the
you
thing
know?
That's crazy to me, Mitchell, and I mean this so sincerely, is you have so many songs that I think are incredible, and you see this, man. You see this at the shows, like, the fans love the songs, and your streaming is insane if you really look at it, because I used to work over at Riser House, so I've been in the back end. Like, I know what's happening. Like, everyone talks about how crazy your streaming is. Nice. So it's shocking to me that Truth About You, I mean, I've lied about so many relationships, yeah, right? I'm usually the one lying.
Yeah, no, and I'll admit that too. I mean, that's part of the song.
That's part of the song, yeah. Right? To me, it seems like an instant hit. So people on the team are saying they don't hear anything here.
Yeah, and it's just, and I don't know. I mean, Riser's always been there for me on that. It was just, when you sign with a major label, there's just so many opinions. And that's like, and it's like, if everyone doesn't line up with the same one,
yeah,
it's really hard to be successful. So, I don't know. It's, and again, I love my team. I mean, we've got it nailed down. We've got it honed in and everything.
Something's working.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, right now, my team is amazing, and I'm not going to put any bad vibes that way, because it's great. But it took a minute to get that team right and to figure everything out and to figure out the path. So, you know, and that's just part of anything. You know, I think, you know, figuring out what works and what doesn't. And what works is when everyone believes in one thing. And if it took TikTok to do it, and if it took everyone else saying it, whatever, man. I don't really care.
So you put the song on TikTok and it blows up, right?
Yeah.
And then does the team say, oh, maybe we should put this out?
Yeah.
They well, go, that was we always loved the song. Always thought it was a hit.
Well, more than, it's not that they hated the song. It's like, we don't see a single here. Like, right. Because, you know, we had put, after Drunk Me, it was Alcohol You Later, which I didn't want to do because that was the first thing we ever put out at Riser House before we signed a major deal. So that had already done its streams, already gotten playlisted by John Marks when he was at Spotify. You know, like the big playlist. Like he always went to battle for us. And so I was like, well, we're not going to get playlisted again on this. The streaming's not going to be the same because this song's 2 years old.
It's already done.
That was the case on that one. Went top 55 or something on radio and whatever. I mean, it's one of our biggest hits live. It's awesome to play.
That's what I mean. Like,
But then we're on radio, and then Anything She Says with C4th was the next song. And I loved that song, but I was never going to make it a single. But they were like, well, it's streaming like crazy. This needs to be the single, but, you know, I'm still a new artist, and then putting another new artist on a record really freaked radio out for some reason. So that song went gold and never broke top 50. And so then I started getting like, oh, like what's happening here?
And you only get so many shots, right?
Yeah, and that's my point. Sorry, that's what I was coming to. And then like, then everyone's afraid to put out anything now because the next one has to work.
Right.
And then we put out Broken Up and it doesn't work. Broken Up doesn't work at country radio. And so now everyone's just panicking. They're like, well, we let's just hold on with you on radio. And I'm like, well, no, because that's the only reason I signed. I want radio.
I'm here.
Yeah, that's why I gave up, you know, this. That was the deal, I felt like. And so there was a moment there where
But do you empathize a little bit or do you understand where they're coming from?
100%.
So it's like this thing. So at that point, I imagine that you then have to regroup with the team.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why there's 20 songs on this record, because you were like, what do you need? Yeah, well, let me give you a little bit of everything.
Absolutely.
The more songs I put on this record, the more chances I have to get singles, basically. Is that why there are 20 songs on the record?
No, not quite. No, not quite. But yeah, to your point, you regroup with the team. And I got, you know, I'll give Randy Goodman the credit on this. We, you know, during the quarantine, you know, where we were on Zoom conversations, like I couldn't go in the meeting room. We came up with a plan. He said, Mitchell, I'm going to let you release music as much as you want, whatever you want, release it. He goes, because we got to get that back. We got to get that. We got to get people like listening, like radio listening. We got to get your number, your streaming number is just undeniable. And so I did. And he let me. He let me put out, you know, two EPs with the Low Light Sessions, Midtown Diaries, and get that buzz going again in town. And I appreciate that because a lot of people didn't get to release music and I got to do whatever I wanted. So that was awesome. I got to record the stuff like that and do that. And then for this record, same. They let me make a whole record, 20 songs, without listening to any of them before I showed them the day it was done. I don't take that for granted, like, at all.
Yeah.
I know that doesn't happen. And so I really appreciate Randy Goodman for letting me do that. And now, you know, we kind of came up with a plan of what we were going to do, you know, being on social media, doing what, you know, you have to do these days. I didn't want to be on freaking TikTok anymore, man. I mean, I enjoy TikTok. I love watching it, but that's not what I wake up thinking about. And, but, you know, it's what kind of brought me back as far as country radio, because that song, it gave me a new platform and people a new place to present my music. And I got to share demos on that platform, which is awesome. You know, 99% of the songs I write will never get heard. So that platform is awesome. I could like show them some music you might not ever hear and test.
Your best songs go to the grave with you. Who said that?
Yeah, that was Bobby Braddock. So you're going to be buried with your best songs. Yeah. So yeah, you may say this is awesome. But so anyway, I mean, it's just crazy that, you know, what you got to reinvent yourself sometimes. It's just part of this industry. It's part of the entertainment business. And right now we're figuring something out. And, you know, there's going to be a time come that we're going to have to figure it out again. But we're going to ride the wave.
Yeah. It's funny, though, because I do think of you, and there is like a class of artists that I think of as like TikTok artists who are crushing it right now. And I don't quite group you in with them just because it seems like different generations almost of country artists.
For sure.
But when I think of artists who are really active on TikTok and who have made like a really good day on the platform, like I do think of you as one of those artists. Like I think you're really good on it.
Oh, well, thanks. I try to be authentic on it. You know, I can't dance. I'm not going to do that kind of stuff or the, hey, play this song real quick or play me whatever. And just like can't fake the stuff like that. I'm going to show you my songs and demos. And then I like to do a couple little, you know, sketch comedy things for fun. I like to try that out for see what happens.
Yeah. But don't you hate doing music videos? I've heard this.
I hate music videos.
To me, that's so interesting because you always have these elaborate music videos where you're like acting and doing all this crazy stuff. Like, so who convinces you to do that if you hate doing that? Or do you like the finished result, but you hate
doing it? Oh, I love the
doing
finished,
it.
I love finished results. Yeah. I just, back to Kristen, she convinces me. She makes me feel good about that stuff. But man, I don't know. I get in my head about it. And, I mean, there's certain videos that are a lot of fun. Like the one I did with Teddy Swims. Elephant in the Room. Like when your buddy's there. That's a lot of fun. Like, and the same with C4th, anything she says.
Yeah, it was a great video.
We were joking around the whole time, but I just don't like to focus all on me. I really don't like. I like to share that with somebody else. Like,
that doesn't make any sense to me, though. You're the front man. I know you were originally a band guy. This was never actually part of the plan.
Yeah, correct.
To be a solo artist. But I would love the attention on me. What do you? I don't want to share the limelight with anyone. What are you talking about?
Man, I don't know. I like to. Sometimes that's how I joke with my band. I'm like, y'all want to come to meet and greet with me and just stand there like, I don't know. It's just more fun with other people for me personally. But I mean, and I enjoy what I do. I'm not saying that at all, but I don't know. It's just weird when everything's the camera. It's all focused on you. Like Truth About You. I love that video, the way it turned out. Like in that, but that was like one of the hardest things. Cause like there was, you know, one of the scenes is, you know, you're catching her cheating and she's kind of like, it gets aggressive and she kind of shoves you and like, you know, like a almost domestic violent stuff. And like, dude, it's really hard for me to act out. Like that's some serious shit. And I'm like,
that's real life.
So like, I'm not an actor. So like, I have to get, like, I joke around and I fuck around and shit like all the time. And so I'm like, I had to like try to get to that place. And I don't know, maybe it's just cause you know, it's a new challenge. And so I'm starting to like him a little more. I'll say that. But
was that a real lie detector that you were using in that music video?
It was definitely a. It used to be back in like the 70s. Or something. Definitely didn't work anymore.
So touring right now, going out in January. I learned this recently that you actually your brother is not a bass player.
Well, but he is now.
Yeah,
he's great.
But you basically like when you were starting the solo career, you said to him, "I don't want to do this alone." Then did. So learn bass so you can come out with me. But did he have any music ability?
Yeah. He's always been, my brother, his name is Rafe Tenpenny, Rayford. he's always been better than me at anything. He's just, Rafe, you just got to kind of push Rafe a little bit more. You got to say, hey, go here, do this. And then he'll be like, all right. And he's great at it. But, like, we're signing him right now. My first writer I've ever signed, I'm signing my brother.
To a publishing?
Yeah, to
thing?
A publishing
under
deal.
Riser House? Or
no, through we're going to do that. Through me and Ernest are going to sign him together.
That would be unbelievable.
So, yeah, that's a lot of fun. But, that's the opposite side of it. He was always playing. Like, we always, like, jammed around and you know, a little bit when we were kids. And he could play piano. He could, you know, he always had a little guitar and noodled and would show me riffs. He didn't know what he's not very theoretical. Like, he's not going to tell you what, he doesn't know what he's playing. He's just really smart. Like, he just hears it. He can hear it. So, yeah, that's what happened. I mean, when Sony offered the record deal and was like, you got to go on radio tour, I was like, I went to Guitar Center, I bought a bass, and I went, I was like, dude, I do not want to do this alone.
You don't like doing anything alone.
I don't like doing anything alone. I guess that's what it is. I guess we figured it out.
What is that? So, and then he learned how to play bass.
Yeah, I mean, if you're new to the guitar, he has an ear. Like, so at first, you know, it's pretty standard just playing the root notes and stuff. But, I mean, it was pretty quick where he kind of took off on his own. Now he's over there just riffing over there on the bass, and it's fun. And the thing too, we sing harmonies. Like, he sings, we're brothers, and we've
it's
always
blood sung, harmony.
Sung, yeah, so
thing.
it's awesome to have my brother there every day, singing harmonies with me and understanding. Like, I mean, like if we have a new song, and I just played it, he's gonna catch on it pretty quick because he knows how I sing. So yeah. it's really good to have my brother there.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah,
I like seeing you guys play on stage with him. It's just cool to.
It's fun, man.
It's cool to see you guys. So brother's on tour playing bass, and the tour is going out in January.
Yeah.
This is kind of how, this is not the longest tour I've ever seen.
No.
10 dates, right?
Yeah, it's just 10 days. You know, we might add some more, but right now we got other tours we're still doing next year that we haven't announced yet, which we're pretty excited about.
Gotcha.
And other things we got to do next year. Again, we haven't announced, I don't know what I can and can't say, you know.
Just tell me anything.
See, Christian's normally right here. Just looking at me. Yeah,
no one's. It's just you and I here. Yeah, nobody's.
But yeah, I don't get why you can't say that stuff. I've never really understood that. I'm gonna keep my mouth shut. But like,
yeah.
I just don't understand why you get like. It's not a. I mean, it's a big deal to me, but it's like I don't know. What does it change if I say
like nobody else? Nobody else cares.
Yeah,
they're gonna show up.
Yeah,
what
does it change if I say who we're going on tour with or what we're doing? Like, it's like. You're going to know at some point. Why not know earlier? I don't know.
But someone.
They like to make everything a big reveal these days. Big, like,
someone who, like, on the, of the caliber of Luke Bryan, who you're
yeah,
at with
sure.
right
oh,
now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because of these radio singles, these two number ones, do you think that's how you got on the tours or
yeah,
would
I mean,
have
yeah,
happened regardless?
No, absolutely not. It's another testament to Kristen. I mean, we wouldn't have gotten on the Luke Bryan tour had she not shown everybody what we were doing streaming wise and sales wise. I mean, people just didn't know, you know, that's the thing. You, there's a lot of people and there's no harm, no foul, like, or not talking shit on anybody, but that have four number ones that can't sell tickets or that don't stream. And that's fine.
That I know.
But like they'll get the festival slots or they'll get the tour slots. And it's like, man, we deserve to be there too. Like, or in that conversation. And so Kristen put together this PowerPoint that was undeniable that showed everything and compared and, you know, that was a big thing because, you know, the record labels were like, we need to make sure everyone knows how much you stream, how much you do this, this and that. And like, but then they share information like, you know, the inside numbers to us. And we're seeing, we're like, oh, we had no idea we were up there with these, like whatever. And they're like, okay, we're going to, they go, no, you can't share this information. You're like, well, you want us to tell everybody
Wait,
what
so
we're
you,
doing.
They literally say you can't share the streaming information?
No, just some of the inside information that labels have. You know, you know, like just deeper data, deeper numbers. And then, but Christian was like, but you want us to share, you want people to know about it, but we can't
but
share
it. But we can't share it.
They finally said, whatever, do it. And Christian made a PowerPoint. Christian said, I'm doing it anyway, and made a PowerPoint. And they all agreed. And that's kind of what got us to Luke Bryan tour. Because they were like, oh, wow, okay, cool. And that was awesome. And so we're opening for the Luke Bryan tour. Riley Green's in the middle slot. So next year, you know, because of all that stuff, I mean, we get to be a direct support artist finally for the first time in our career. And, you know, I'm super excited about that. And, you know, we'll explain, you know, we'll announce those tours soon. But, you know, that was just, that's Kristen being a boss, man. I keep going back to her. She said, screw it. I mean, we have no choice but to show. Like, because if you're not going to show up, you know, Nashville's not who your audience is. But it is.
I think people forget that sometimes.
Yeah, that's
right?
Exactly. But it's all, but it controls who they, what audience they put you in front of. So like, if you don't have the number one, they are the, or the number one on radio, they don't think you're doing shit for the most part. And I'm not, you know, this just, it's just a weird town, man. You got to prove them right. You got to prove them wrong in different ways now. And so that's what we've been really focusing on, is showing, you know, showing other people what we really do and what we do well. And yeah, I'll give her that credit for sure.
I just can't believe that, like, hindsight's 20/20. I think anyone's lucky to have, would be lucky to have Kristen manage them, but I can't believe you gave her such a shot early on in the career. How old was she? She must have been 22.
22 is when I met her. She might have been 23 or 24 when we started working together. Yeah,
I read somewhere that she's the youngest manager in country music history to have a number one single. Isn't
that
true?
Absolutely. Good for her. You know, she was at Riser House working. Well, before we started Riser House, she was working with Jen Johnson as a publisher. She, you know, helping with John Party, Ashley McBride, did some stuff earlier with Luke Holmes. And she was amazing. And so, like, when I went up, so me and Jen Johnson came together and we started Riser House. And so, you know, Kristen just kind of came over with, you know, that acquisition, or, you know, the company start. And she was just doing everything for me for free, man. Just not even for free. She just loved doing it. So she was, like, answering emails for me, or, like, you know, anything that was coming in at the time, like, she was just doing it. I remember we played a CMA Fest show, and, you know, right after the show, I'm putting my guitar up, and Kristen goes, "You got to get your brother to put that guitar up. You got to come with me right now. Get, like, now, Mitchell." And I'm like, "Oh, what the hell's going on?" I get over there, and it's Sony Records, you know, Columbia Records. And, you know, that's, she was over there talking the whole time and, like, working business. And she's not my manager. She's a publisher that's just, you know.
I would almost feel goofy doing that.
Yeah.
Being so young and going over and talking to label executives and then grabbing you, who's older than me, and saying, "Come with me right now." I would just, that would make me feel so silly. I think she could do it with, like, a seriousness and a confidence.
And she did.
Couldn't do that.
Well, me neither. And she did. And so then a week later we were in the office, they asked us, "Do you want to sign this deal?" And we did. I pulled Kristen aside. I was like, "Hey, will you be my manager? You need to get, like, paid for this. You, like, and you're also, not only, I mean, she needs to get compensated for what she's done, but also I'm like, I need you. Like, you're getting shit done for me." Like, so that was a big thing, because then I had to, you know, she was like, "Well, I never thought of this would ever be something I would ever do. Like, I'm loving publishing." And she goes, "Let me pray about it. Let me think about it." Call me the next day. And she's like, let's do this. So then we had to figure out how to ask Jen, "Hey, can I have her as my manager and take away your best publisher? I'm very sorry." But it was all for the betterment of the whole company and the whole idea. And everyone saw that in her, and they saw what we had together. And people ask me, man, all the time, man, I need a manager like her. I'm like, good luck, man. I mean, it just happened, man.
Yeah.
It just happened.
So when you started Riser House, first of all, you started Riser House with Jen and then a guy in LA, Matt Swanson.
Yes.
And it was a construction, you were doing construction.
Correct, yeah.
And a construction worker basically introduced you to Matt.
Yeah.
Isn't that the story?
Yeah, the guy, the construction guy I was working with, his name's Chris McCollum. He's awesome. He built Matt's studio out in California. And so I'm working construction for him. And Matt had always said, "If you ever meet someone in Nashville that you think's decent, like, give me a call. Like, I'd love to, like, you know, start dipping my toes in the music industry." And I was just a kid. I'd never been to California. So, like, I'm up in the rafters, like, putting in insulation, and I'm telling him about, "I've got a studio down, you know, you want to come?" He was telling me he used to work on projects. I was like, I play some music. So he was working on a girl's record, Casey Weston. She was on the Voice, and Restless Heart, was doing the harmonies for it. Larry Stewart, the lead singer of Restless Heart. And he's like, "I just think it'd be cool if we had, like, a couple songs with someone, like, a little younger. You want to come over to the studio and try it?" And I was like, "Well, hell yeah." So after work, I went over there and did that. And I sung some harmonies for her record. And he called me the next day. He's like, "Do you want to go out to California and meet this guy?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I want to go to California and meet
this
guy."
That's so, like...
Yeah, and that was...
That's so crazy. So you go out there, and then you play for him...
Yeah.
And what he signs you, he says, you want to make a record? And you say, yeah, let's make a record.
Yeah, that's it.
But what I think is interesting is, didn't Sony ATV sign you for publishing?
A little after that.
A little after that. But didn't they say, like, we don't even know who this guy is. We don't want to sign you because you have this deal with him.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to Matt and you say, Matt, I got to get out of this deal. And he just lets you out of the deal, right? Isn't that the story?
Yeah, man. It just doesn't happen that way. I don't know. That just shows you how good of a person Matt is and how he always believed in what I do. And that meant the world to me. Yeah, I mean, my dream was always to be a signed writer. And so we went hard at it. We, you know, I got grassroots promotion to help us do a radio tour. We did an indicator radio station, so not major markets, the other. We're trying to work our way up from the ground. I mean, literally grassroots. And me and my buddy Brad Clausen, we would rent a Mustang every week and then take off. I mean, we didn't have a radio person with us that would show up. I mean, we'd show up to these
radio. You'd take off to, like, radio tour. Like, yeah, you put together your own radio tour,
yeah,
basically.
This promotion team would do that for us. And, yeah, we'd show up and do that. And, you know, we did that for a while, and it was going great. And then I got offered a deal to be a writer. But they said, yeah, we can't do this with this guy up here. We don't understand. So I just called him straight
up. What
does
that mean, though? Because even on the label side, isn't he sort of out of it when it comes to publishing and writing songs?
Yeah, I think it just had to do with percentage of things. Like,
yeah.
And, like, how much they, you know, there's you only have so much to give.
And were they worried, even though, you know, Rise Raps has proved to be this kind of big independent machine, were they worried that maybe they'd sign you as a writer and then, you know, wanting to be an artist, and they were not aware at the time if he could work as a label, or if he could build a label?
Well, correct. Like, we weren't Riser House. We were nothing. We were just this guy was just funding my music career. I mean, that's all it was. But I think because I signed with Ernest, but his name was Snow at the time. His name's Keith Smith.
Ernest. You signed with Ernest?
So me and him signed together
as a duo. To
the Warren Brothers, to Sony ATV. So I think their whole plan the whole time was to get us a record deal anyway. Kind of an artist development thing, more than just signing us as just writers. So I think they needed the freedom to do that. So anyway, I asked Matt, and he's like, Mitchell, whatever's best for you. And I mean, you know, I don't remember how much money on recoup, but, you know, a substantial amount. And nobody in the world would ever do that. But I made him that promise. I said, if I ever get to a point in this industry where, like, you know, I think I have an idea, or, like, I can make you your money back, can we work together, please? He's like, call me, whatever you want. And so that's how we started Razor House, like, a year or 2 years later.
So, first of all, I just want to ask, because this is a thing that people might not know, is you weren't a duo originally with Ernest. Why did that fall apart?
I mean, it just wasn't meant to be. Yeah, we just wanted to do, we were just doing different things. I mean, like, just different artists. He was doing more of the rap stuff at that time. And it was cool. I love what we did. Like, he would, like, rap the verses. I would sing the choruses. But it just got to a point where we were just like, dude, you're an artist too. Like, I've got my own, like, we were never beefing or fun. Like, it's not like.
Yeah, you guys are buds.
It's not an interesting story. Like, oh, we fought. And, like, it was, no, it's like.
But just didn't.
Yeah, we were both like, hey, man, let's do our own thing. I mean, we still write. We're still whatever. I was like,
yeah, you're signing your brother with Ernest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. We're like, yeah, let's just do our own artist thing.
So, okay, wait. So you sign the publishing deal, and then 2 years later you go to Matt and you say, Matt, I think.
Yeah, I'm like, because I was just watching a lot of my friends get record deals and just not working out or not being great. And I was like, man, I really want to do this the way we wanted when we started doing it, you know, our way, me and you, Matt. And but I was like, I met this girl, Jen Johnson, who just really believed in me, man. You know, Jen, like, if she gets, you know, she gets all pumped on fire, she can fire up.
Sometimes I'm like, Jen, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but
I met Jen. The first time I met Jen was at lunch at NADA. This was the first day I ever met her. And the next day she hired me to work at Rise Rap. She was just like, she just called me and she was like, I got a good feeling about you. I think you should just come work for us at Riser House. And this was like early in the pandemic. I needed a job.
Yeah,
that's what happened.
I mean, that's how Kristen was signed to her first. She does that a lot. She's got those feelings like that, and you know, whatever way, she gives people a chance. And so I believed in that, and so I flew her out to Matt, and we had a conversation. He's like, well, let's start a company then. Let's start a label. And he's like, we need a building. And so me and Jim were just walking down Music Row, and she knocked on that building. It wasn't for sale.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
The building's insane.
Yeah, it wasn't for sale. It was just there. Knocked on it, like these young college kids opened it up, and they, like, definitely hung over for the night before. Looked like, been partying. They're like, hey. And she's like, who owns this place? And they're like, I don't know, some Canadian. Jim just kind of walks in the door and just starts looking around at it.
Wait, that's how you got the Riser House building?
Yeah.
Hey, did we lose audio on this mic or no? No? It sounds a little weird. We're in? So, okay, so wait, because I've always worried about this building because it's one of the nicest buildings on Music Row. So literally she just knocked on the door and said... She just shoved herself in, basically.
Yeah, I was right there with her. I was just like, okay, we're going in.
And you're like, what the fuck? Of course this building is not for sale or whatever. So you go in and walk around?
Yeah, but she was just like, I want to know who owns it. I mean, I guess she had been paying attention that, like, it didn't look like it was...
a Music Row company or whatever.
Yeah, like, what's going on here? This building has been here. And, all, you know, it was Buddy Killen's building back in the day. My grandmother... would go there and do things with Buddy Killen. Like,
no
I
way.
Remember that building. Yeah. It had a lot of history and a great studio downstairs. When we found out, you know, just figuring out who owned the building, it was Canadian. It was, I think, Lennon Stella, you know?
Len Stella? Brad Stella.
Yeah.
Did Brad Stella own the building?
I believe that he was the one.
Did they live there, actually?
I think some of them might have lived there. I know... my fiance, when she came to town, ended up staying there for a little bit, like before I even knew her. It's just a lot of weird history, and it's 1010 the address. That's my my last name, and it just all just kind of worked out. And so the building was bought, but it didn't look like it did now. We renovated the whole thing, but the building was bought, and so now we have a building. And it's me and Jen and Kristen. It's like, well, I guess we got a label.
Wait, so you just go, because I think it's really interesting, because I think you are the only artist in Nashville who has, like, a label. Like, I was trying to think about this. Jay DeMarcus now, but he started his label way after he became, Jay DeMarcus. I can't think of anyone else that has, like, a really functioning label.
They're probably just because they're smart.
I would think you're smart having this label behind you. Because you also have this radio team, so you have the Sony radio team, but the Riser House radio team can kick in. You can have in your own A&R working for you. You've got Jennifer who has your back. Like, I think it's really smart to have this label, but I can't think of anyone else that does it like this.
Yeah, no, I'm fully aware of the crazy situation that it is, and like I just didn't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. I never know what I'm doing. Is naivety a word? Being naive, I don't know.
Naivety.
I don't know what it is. But naive is the only time I've ever seen success, man. And like, I think it felt good. We just kept going with it. And we had Matt's blessing and backing on this stuff. And I just surround people that let me do what I want to do. And that's the hardest thing. I've tried to build a team that, like, I listen. Trust me, I listen. And I'm not going to do anything. I've never put my foot down and said, no, I'm doing this, even though y'all all hate it. But I do like people that take me into account first when it comes to my music, if that makes sense. So I've surrounded myself with that. I wanted a label like that. I wanted to have the power to do my own music because I saw what happens when you don't.
Yeah,
and
right.
It's nothing. Nothing right. happens when you don't. So that was why we did Riser House. And even when we started building, building up a team, getting social media people in there, getting publishers, then signing our first writers. I got to sign one of my best friends, Dallas Wilson, and then Michael Whitworth, who both have number one songs now. Our publishing company's doing great. And then artists like Dylan Carmichael.
Who's doing great right now.
And then Jen went outside and she wanted to sign my fiance, Megan. That had nothing to do with me, and I'm making that very clear. I said, I am staying out of this entire deal.
But first of all, if it did have something to do with you, that would be a great move.
She's amazing, but I don't want the town to think that. Like, I know how people talk. They say, like, oh, she got the deal because of him. No, she didn't. I made it very clear. I did not want any piece of this thing. If you believe in her, you go do that, and that's on you. I said, do not do this to me if you don't believe in her. And they did. And I can't wait to share what's about to be happening with her soon, too.
I love the song on the Low Light Sessions. Don't Make Me Choose.
Yeah.
Did you write that about Megan? Well, no.
No, that was me and Dallas Wilson years ago. That was about another relationship.
That might
be
my favorite song on the Low Light Sessions.
Thank you.
I've heard you say this is, because most people in the industry don't want to date anyone in the music industry. Yeah. But I feel like if you date someone in the music industry, they actually understand that you're not going to, if it's between you and the career, if it's between them and the career, Don't Make Me Choose is what the song says, right?
Absolutely.
Is that what the song's about? Like what is that?
Yeah, it was a relationship where it got down to that. And it's not their fault. You know, they didn't grow up, you know, thinking about their husband being gone all the time. You know, that was the goal. You know, you date someone thinking that maybe one day this could be more and you get married. And so right when I was in a relationship, right when my career just started to, you know, go, and that's when you got to work the most. And I was just gone. And it was almost like making me feel guilty. And again, I'm not blaming them for that. They didn't mean to. It's just the natural way it happens. You know, making you feel guilty for being on the road or doing your job. And I was like, I love you to death. And you know, I know, but I fell in love with music first. this was my first love. And I need you to understand that. Like, I want you to do whatever dream you have. And unfortunately, it just didn't line up. But Megan, we had the same dream. And so when she's gone, I miss her like shit, man. I miss her like crazy. But I'm so happy that she's out there doing that. And she is the same for me when I'm gone. I don't feel guilty when I'm on the road. And I know she doesn't either. And if you have that weight on you while you're out there trying to do that, you'll never succeed. So that freedom is the reason I want to marry this girl, man. She is the best. And I'm excited for everything with it. But yeah, I mean, I don't even know where we were going, but it's just crazy. Don't make me choose yet. Please don't make me choose, or you're not going to like the choice.
You're not going to like the choice. How often do your schedules align where you guys see each other? Do weeks go by where you're both on the road, and do you keep in touch every day, or do you try to call every day? How do you keep that?
We do, but we're not a big we don't have to talk 4 hours on the phone every day.
Right.
We'll text throughout the day a little bit, and then at night, usually we'll talk at night for 10 minutes. I mean, there's
I'm the same way.
What do you want to do?
To you on the phone for hours.
Exactly.
I don't want to text you that often either.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
Let's be honest.
No, that's exactly how we are. And because we're doing other things too. It's not that you're not on our mind, but I'm confident with you. I'm confident. I'm comfortable with you. And she is too. I don't need reassurance every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
She doesn't either. I don't get couples to do that. I'm sorry if y'all are that. To his own. But no.
Is this going to be a star-studded wedding? How many famous people are going to be at this wedding? Is Chris Young coming to the wedding?
Chris will be at the wedding.
Who else is going to be at the wedding? Who's going to be the most famous person at the wedding?
I don't know. I'm not honestly sure. I got to look at the RSVPs. It's actually a very, very, very small wedding.
How many people?
We're chilling, like around 100. Nothing crazy.
Yeah.
It's mainly my family's so big. I'm from Nashville, and my other family's from Birmingham. So it's like we're all right here, and I have so many of them. And then I'm born and raised here. So some of my high school friends and who I grew up with, and then a couple of my artist buddies, Hardy, is probably Ernest, some of those friends and stuff like that. But nothing, I'm not going crazy
I don't know. I think this could be a start.
I want my closest friends in the world.
Are you inviting any radio people? That's a great way to make a make a connection.
No, absolutely not.
With a radio PD invite them to I guarantee they play your song, your next single, if you invite them to the wedding. You might want to reconsider that. Two weeks before the.
I didn't want it to be a Nashville hang. I wanted it to be a wedding. I wanted to actually be with my wife that night and not everybody else. So we both said no. We see all these people, and it was tough because these are people we work with. A lot of people we work with every day and stuff. It's like, I love them. I want these to be our closest friends and family, and that's it. And so that's what we're doing. We're going to do it. I want her daddy to walk her down the aisle. Otherwise, we would have just eloped.
Yeah.
We've been together for a while.
Does she have a big family?
No, not at all. No. And her family's from Canada, so there's only a few coming down. I have a massive family, so yeah.
Really? How many? What do you have? Just lots of.
They're just everywhere. Just cousins everywhere. And aunts. Yeah.
God, cousins.
And my mom. Yeah.
Are they going to know how to be cool at this wedding? Are they going to go up to Chris Young and ask for photos? They going to know how to handle themselves?
You know what? Thanks for reminding me of that. I might have to have a conversation.
I think you need to have a conversation about this.
Chris is cool, though. He wouldn't care, but yeah.
He wouldn't care.
He might.
Whatever. So Luke Bryan on the tour with Luke Bryan right now, which is gotta be killer.
Yeah.
Album's out. There's 20 songs on this record.
Yeah.
And I actually think the opening song is killer.
Let's go.
It's
a
great way to get into the record. Every song on this sort of has like a twist or a flip. Like, I'm not in a good place, but I'm in a good place for a broken heart.
Yeah.
Like, everything has sort of like a double meaning or a twist. Like, you gotta love those, right? Like,
yeah,
what is that? Is that a Nashville twist?
Yeah, the Nashville turn of phrase.
What is that?
Turn of phrase or the twist. Yeah, man. I mean, I love that. I love when songs are interesting like that. I think that's what country music is, like lyrics these days. Like, everyone's so, it doesn't sound country. It's like, well, yeah, but you were saying that 20 years ago when Garth Brooks hit the scene or whatever, you know. Not 20, should have been like, what, 30 now?
I don't know.
But, you know, you said that every single time. Like, you know, timbre changes, production changes, but what stayed consistent with country is lyrics. You know, telling the story and telling them in different ways. So, like, that's what I wanted this record to be. Like, I love telling lyrics, like, where you can, like, almost see the movie when the lyrics are being described to you. So, I mean, that's what, you know, whenever I have a hook like that, like, the truth about you or, you know, drunk me, can't get over you or... Yeah, like, I'm not in a good place, but I'm in this bar, so I'm in a good place or a broken heart. When Michael Whitworth came in the room with that idea, and when I heard that,
One who says that?
Yeah, he...
Because
he,
it almost doesn't sound like a good idea.
Yeah, no.
But it is good.
It took a minute. It took, because I had to say it in my head a few times, like, I love that. That's awesome. And then I was like, it needs to be up-tempo. Let's go. Let's go, like...
Yeah.
Like, let's go back in, like, my rock days, and let's write something like that. So it was a lot of fun to do that song. And, yeah, all the songs, you know, we just kind of did a bunch of those.
So did he comes in with that hook just fully formed?
Yeah, he had the idea, I'm not in a good place, but I'm in this bar, so I'm in a good place for a broken heart, yeah.
And does he just say that?
Yeah.
Or does he have any kind of the melody to it? Or do you come in, like, do you go, huh?
Yeah, you know.
Maybe it could sound like this.
Yeah, I think that's where we come in and start, that's where co-writing comes in at that point. Like, yeah, he came in with that idea, and then we just started rolling. I mean, we all had our guitars out and just started kind of jamming.
And you just sing, and you just go, you know, I'm not in a good place.
It did. I don't know if it came out that quick, but yeah, you just kind of, yeah. I mean, just start mumbling. It's the first few, like, first 30 minutes of co-writes is just a bunch of dudes and a bunch
like
of foam, people.
You're just foaming
writing.
At the mouth.
Yeah,
you're just
mumbling, like, oh, it's good. Like, just like.
Is that what I was doing? Like, what could this sound like?
The best. Craig Wiseman, what a legendary songwriter. I mean, Jesus.
He gave you a lot of advice early on, especially when he was starring Riser House, right?
Absolutely. And that's a whole other story. He has always been great to me, a lot of advice. But when you're writing with him, he's the king of that. He'll just be real kind. He'll just and you're over there, you're just sitting across from him just like wondering where he's at, and then he'll just okay, and then he'll be right in and he'll say something brilliant. You're like, God, what's going through your head in the moment?
He'll go away
mumbling?
For a second, and he'll be like,
he'll just turn his head and just, Jesus, and you're just,
and then he'll come back and he'll go, I got,
and it's just like written, it's just
written.
Yeah, it's just a perfect song.
That's
like,
what that's
live
what
like you
do.
Were dying or something. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You
know, just, he'll poop out of him or something.
Yeah,
like
it's crazy. It's just raw brilliance, man. It's nuts.
That's the I guess that makes sense. I guess that's how it works. But seriously, the record's great. I also love the song Losers on the record.
Thank you, yeah.
I'm surprised there aren't more songs about losers for how much time everyone spends at losers.
Well, I think I fucked up because now I gave away our place. I think everyone's like,
everybody knew you were hanging at losers anyway. Yeah,
I don't care if people know I'm there. I'm just saying, just losers itself in general.
Like it's gonna become too touristy.
It's becoming touristy.
Do we need a new bar?
We need a new bar.
Fuck.
We don't. No, losers, you're doing fine. You got all the bar. We'll still come hang, but yes, I guess we need a new bar.
We need a bar for the weekends. Sometimes on the week, Monday, Tuesday night, it's still okay. Sometimes on the weekends,
it gets
Red
crazy
Door,
weekends.
Midtown, it gets a little crazy. Yeah. And it's like, when I first moved here, which was long after you've been going to Midtown, it used to be, it was always pretty calm. Now it's slammed on the weekends. You can't do anything.
It's just Nashville now, man, too. It's crazy.
Now it's just Nashville. I want to ask you too. Is there going to be a band at the wedding?
No, just a DJ.
You're not going to put. If I was you, I would put together a star-studded band.
We thought about the Spasmatics. You know those.
Oh,
those
I love
cats
the Spasmatics.
Awesome. And I love all those guys. But dude, honestly, the last few like weddings I've been to where it's like kind of music people, like no one listens to the band or dances or does anything. It's just kind of background noise, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, and I feel bad. I feel bad because, like, I guess because you hear it all the time. People are just, like, enjoying the conversations of reconnecting and seeing each other for a weekend.
Yeah.
You know, we're gone all the time. We never see each other. So it's like no one's really over there. So I was like, let's just get a DJ. And if people want to dance, obviously he'll have a great playlist. And if not, it won't feel as weird as like a band playing to nobody.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
And same thing, like my sister's getting married in a couple weeks and she put me on wedding band duty. And I was I was going through all these bands. And what's funny is like they're all cover bands.
Yeah.
And some of them are good, but like they all sound like cover bands.
Yeah. That's
so I was like, they're all like fine. I don't know. Like none of them were great.
Well, that's the thing too. It's like at the end of the day, people on those things, they just want to hear songs. Like they just want to hear songs.
That's all they want to hear, right?
If it's a hit, they just want to hear songs they've heard before.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, to me, like, and that's not belittling anything. Like some people do it way better than others. Like the Spasmatics are awesome.
Because they're kind of their own thing.
Yeah, they're their own thing. Hire them, do whatever. Like you want those guys. But yeah, I don't know. It's we're just going to have a DJ.
Yeah. Oh, this could be a great wedding. I've got 2 weeks to secure an invite.
Okay, dude, you can come all you want.
I'm not going to come.
It is not a star-studded wedding,
I'm going straight to Chris Young and getting that photo at the wedding. Mitchell Tempe on the podcast. We've said a lot here, and we've learned a lot. We've learned about the importance of having your own team, having your own champion, having your own advocate. We've learned that you can't give up. If something's not going your way, if you're not getting on country radio, the best thing to do is just keep moving forward. Keep on the cycle of don't give up. Keep writing songs. Pull together the data. A good PowerPoint can solve a lot. Never underestimate a good PowerPoint presentation, what that can do for your career. We've learned a lot. Also, are you going to go to the Super Bowl this year with Chris Young? You said this recently. You've never been to a Super Bowl.
Never been to a Super Bowl.
You going to go this year?
I need the Titans to get there. But yes, I would.
Are you going to hold out for the Titans?
I kind of want to. My mom, so when they first went, my mom got to go. I was a kid. And I was so jealous because, I mean, my mom loves football, but not like me.
Really?
But I had school the next morning, so I wasn't allowed to go. I was a kid, but.
You know what? I think these are all weird things. Like, I remember my first concert.
Yeah.
My parents made me leave early because the next day was, like, my first day of summer camp. And they were like, oh, he's got to leave early.
Don't want to be tired.
ZZ Top and Aerosmith.
Oh, what a first concert.
Incredible first concert. Wow. And I left it halfway through the Aerosmith set. It still haunts me to this day.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I think, like, when I'm a parent.
Yeah.
I'm going to.
They'll be tired.
Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, no,
it's the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
he's going to learn more and have more life experience at the Super Bowl than he is on the at school the next day, right? Like, don't you think that's crazy?
Yeah, well, I think my mom just wanted to go to the Super Bowl.
She just wanted to ditch you. That was basically the line.
So when the Titans go back, I'll definitely be there for the Titans. But if I get offered a ticket, if Chris wants to fly me out there in his plane or something, come on, Chris.
It'd be a great wedding present.
Come on. Yeah. Speaking of. He did say he needed my address. I need to give him my address to that.
What do you think he's going to send you?
I'm just kidding. Super Bowl tickets. Let's go.
I think Super Bowl tickets would be incredible from Chris Young.
Yeah.
He's got to send them. So, okay. So, when do you go back on the road with Luke?
What's today? Two days from now.
2 days from now? Yeah. Do you get excited to go back out on the road?
Yeah,
it's been
3 weekends. We have not had 3 weekends off in 6 years.
Oh, you gotta be going insane.
So yeah, so like I had 1 weekend off. We had to cancel. Unfortunately, my voice for the first time ever was just gone. We have been going so hard through the radio. I mean, through radio being where it was, we had 2 number ones real quick. Then we had the album release and all the stuff we were doing. My voice just went out.
If you had to do it again, would you lower the key of Drunk Me? It's fucking high.
We do play it a full step down live. Ugh. Most people don't know a little secret there, but
that is a secret.
Yeah, I can't do it every day. Like it's just whatever. But and then the next week we were supposed to be out, and then the next week I had my buddy's wedding that I was in, my producer's wedding, and then this weekend we were supposed to be out with Luke Bryan, but unfortunately it was in Tampa in Estero. Mm. And thinking about all those people too. I mean, those images are insane. And so hopefully we get to go back there and do that when everything's, you know, a little bit brighter. So we had 3 weekends off. It's been crazy. So we're back out this weekend.
What do you do?
I felt weird.
What do you do on a weekend?
I wrote a lot. I'm writing today again right after this. Like I'm just trying to catch up and be productive.
Fair enough. Buy shoes.
Oh yeah, dude. I haven't bought that many shoes here in a little bit.
Really? Why? Yeah.
I don't know.
What are you wearing now? Hang on.
Just wear some low J's.
Simple. Nothing crazy.
Nothing crazy. Well, the truth is, this morning, into my room, I have a code lock.
Yeah.
Like, and it didn't work this morning, so I couldn't get into my room.
What do you mean?
like my closet. I have a code lock to my closet.
Because you're worried someone's going to come in and steal all the shoes?
No, well, I have a lot of shoes. I have stuff, you know, I have stuff. And so I have a code. Dude, it's, this morning it's just not working. So I'm panicking. Like, I'm thank God I left my wallet. I left my wallet on my
Holy shit.
So all this, I know I look ridiculous. This was just in the laundry.
He's got the John Mayer Sobrock sweatshirt.
And Megan's always yelling at me, put my shoes up. But thank God I had these just laying around. Otherwise, I had nothing to wear today.
Holy cow.
Sorry, these same socks, the same underwear from last night.
Do you call
night.
Locksmith, or what are you going
to
do?
I know. Well, I've been trying to Google. It's not going to work. So I think they have a 24-hour customer service. If that doesn't work, I'm going to have to just break it off and get a new one.
Holy shit.
Gotta figure that out tonight. I literally have no clothes.
You have no clothing. Like, and is it a different closet than Megan's closet?
Yeah. I gave her the master bedroom and all that, and then I took a spare bedroom and made that my closet so that we could have our own spaces.
Closet
get ready
space.
And, yeah, because we have lots of shit, man. Like, like for music videos and just people give
stage
us
stage clothing.
Yeah,
and
it's a lot.
It's a lot. So. God, well, I hope you get into the closet.
Yeah, I know, big problems. But
who do you call? Who do you call for that?
I don't call AAA.
Do you put a day-to-day on that? Or if I was you, I'd have like an assistant doing all this stuff. I'm a hit songwriting artist. I don't have time to be breaking into closets.
I have time. I'll figure it out. But yeah, that was a little frustrating this morning because I wanted to be here on time. I was like, shit, I have literally, not kidding, no clothes. I mean, everything's in there.
That happens to me too sometimes. Yeah. I got back from the road yesterday and all my clothing was dirty. So I was like, what do I have to wear?
Yeah.
I threw this shirt on.
Well, you look great.
Clean. Wow. Yeah. Do you really think so, Mitchell?
You look fantastic. Absolutely.
That is so
kind. You got your style, man. I love the blue too.
The blue's my favorite color. Is that your favorite? That's your favorite color too, isn't it?
Green. I think green is probably around mine, but I love blue. I love blue and green.
Green and blue.
It just makes me feel good.
Okay, listen. The new album's out. This is the heavy.
Yeah.
Every song on this record, I think, is really great and deserves to be listened to. And you can listen to it front to back. Flows really well.
Hell yeah.
And you're not going to want to shut it off. So you have to listen to it. Current single, Truth About You, just went number one. And you're going to relate to this. If you're listening, you're going to relate. You've probably lied about relationships that you've been in. And you're going to connect to this song. And the last single, At the End of the Bar, you should check that out too with Chris Young. Chris Young's going to be at the wedding. And everyone's going to attack him and take photos with him. It's going to be really embarrassing, but that's okay. Amazing. And I think you should also check out the Low Light Sessions, which has got some songs on it that weren't really even meant for radio. It's kind of it's stripped down a little bit.
Yeah, I just wanted to have that record that I've been wanting to make for a long time. Like, it just kind of, it's there. Go check it out.
It's just there. And my personal favorite song on the record is Don't Make Me Choose. So I think you should listen to that. You should picture Mitchell in a relationship and then finding Megan. And Megan's not going to make him choose. They're both going to pursue the music careers together, and their stars are going to rise. And by the way, also, I want to bring up October's a big month. You just posted this on Instagram, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. You just posted that your mother was just recently diagnosed with breast cancer, and you're doing something with the Tenpenny Foundation this month.
Yeah.
What are you guys doing? There's something.
Yeah. Normally we do a show on 10/10 every year to help raise money, but this year we're going to do just a big Music Row cornhole tournament, just right there at Sony ATV. Everybody's already bought. Thank God. I mean, it's awesome. They're all the cornhole, all the teams are sold out. But if you want to come by and hang, just run by. It'd be awesome.
When is that?
That'll be the 11th this year, October 11th.
That actually sounds like it's going to be a blast. How many teams?
I think there was 20 teams. 24 maybe.
Wow. So what was the buy-in for cornhole?
I can't remember. I think like $100 a team or something like that. I can't remember.
That's really cool. And everyone's can play cornhole. Yeah. Is there any other way people can donate or get involved?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's the Tenpenny Fund. It's on all my socials. If you go to the website, Mitchell10penny.com, the Tenpenny Fund. Or just type in the Tenpenny Fund.
It's really cool.
Absolutely. Thank you, man.
Absolutely. And then he's going on the road next year in January. It's kind of feel good. You sold out the Rhyme and now you're doing it twice. That shows progress, right?
I'm absolutely. Yeah, I'm stoked. And, you know, hopefully after that we can march on over to Bridgestone or something. We'll see what happens.
Fucking go.
That's the goal, man.
I remember when I first came to town, it used to be like you would play Whiskey Jam.
Yeah.
And whenever you played Whiskey Jam, you couldn't get in. Like, it was packed. Like, it always became a thing. And then you played City Winery, I think.
Yeah, we did.
And then you sold that out. And then did you play somewhere after?
Then we played Marathon for the
first
time.
Then you played Marathon for the first time. And then you sold that out.
Yeah.
And then you moved to the Ryman. And then now you're doing two nights at the Ryman just if you're paying attention, Mitchell's career is just always on the rise. No, and it's always a thing. Whenever Mitchell plays in town, I heard you say once that being from Nashville is a bummer because when you play your hometown show, it's like nobody gives a fuck.
It's
like,
not a hometown.
Well, you can go elsewhere and play a hometown show. It's like a big deal. When you play in Nashville, it's like expected. But I disagree because when you used to play Whiskey Jam early on, there was a line around the door and all your friends would be there. You'd be slamming high fives and everything. To me, it always felt special whenever you'd show up to Whiskey Jam.
Well, thank you.
And play there.
Whiskey Jam is special. That is, I guess, to your credit, that does feel like a hometown show.
That's kind of like a hometown show, right? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Mitchell, hey, man, I got to thank you for coming on to the podcast this morning.
Of course.
And it's great. Great to see you, man.
You too, brother.
And I can't wait for the wedding. I can't wait to be there.
Hell yeah.
What's the date? Is it
23rd, October.
23rd. My sister's wedding is the same weekend, 22nd. Ah, oh, damn.
Congrats on that, too.
Can't come. I had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, right.
With the thank you. Yeah.
Good luck on the band.
Thank you. They're going to be great. Mitchell Tenpenny,
thank you,
everybody.
Brother.
Did we get it?
It didn't record.
Got it.
Oh, my God. It didn't record?
No.